Let's try that again. Good morning. I want to give glory to God and welcome all those who are visiting with us. Say that you are indeed honored guests. Ferguson Heights Church of Christ, don't take your visits lightly. We know that God sent you by not only for us to be a blessing to you, but for you to be a blessing to us as well. Amen. Amen. If you can find your way to 2 Peter, we want to give you the second installment from this series, What You Know Will Make You Grow. Is that all right? 2 Peter chapter 1. And I will read from verses 5 through 8. If you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, and besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in the introductory lesson last week, I talked to you about the 8 notes that needed to be added to your life. And I talked to you about the fact that this is a harmonic event. Peter speaks of a chorus that is singing in harmony in your life. Is that all right? These 8 notes, if you know anything about music, form an octave. An octave simply is one note or one octave higher than the note you started out on. If you start on A, you get to another A, it's one octave higher or one octave lower. Y'all still out there? So Peter says, if you're going to sing in this chorus, you have to have all your parts. Is that all right? You have to have all of the fundamentals in place. Otherwise, you will sound like a screaming cat. Are y'all still there? He says, you can't just get one and leave the rest. In developing these 8 graces, you need to develop them in conjunction with one another. And Peter says that, folks, this is not something that is your choice or a smorgasbord where you can go up into like the Golden Corral and pick what you like. Is that all right? He said, you can't just say, I want some faith, but I don't need brotherly kindness. Or I like chicken, but I don't really particularly care for beef. He said, you can't just say that you like the idea of having your faith in God and not having some godliness. He said, if you have faith in God, you ought to live like. Amen. Amen. And we observe 5 reasons why you need to have these things in your life. Maybe you may have forgotten, but the first one was is that grace and peace will multiply in your life. If you get these 8 notes in harmony with one another, then he says grace and peace will multiply. Grace simply means God's unmerited favor. It's something God gives you that you don't even deserve. But not only that, it's God giving you the things that you need in life. And he says, when you have the things that you need in life, you'll have some peace in your life. And then he goes on and says that it will multiply. I mean, if you know anything about mathematics, you can do some adding and subtracting, but when you start multiplying, amen, things get a little bit faster. And then he says, all things that pertain to spiritual life and godliness will be provided to you. You don't have to run around wondering where you're going to get your spiritual energy from. It's going to be provided to you because you have all of these notes singing in harmony in the chorus. And because you have all of them singing in harmony, you have the things that pertain to life and godliness in your life. Then he said, you won't have spiritual myopia and amnesia. He says you won't have this problem with seeing only things that are close up. You won't have a problem of seeing things that are far off. In other words, you won't always just be looking in the mirror and seeing yourself, but you will be able to see all the folk that are around you. And he say you won't have amnesia. You won't forget where you came from. Somebody will say amen. You won't forget where you are. You won't forget who you are. You won't forget whom you are. You won't forget what you are. You will not forget that you are a Christian, and you won't forget all the Christian folk that are around you. You won't have this amnesia. And somebody ought to say amen. Some of us leave on Sunday and we forget on Monday. And then he says, folks, if you get this in your life, if you get these things right, if you seek to do these things, if you get all diligence, if you work hard at getting these things right in your life, you will not stumble. I don't know if that means anything to you. He said, you will never stumble. He said, you won't have all the things that are tripping you up. So like the Hebrew writer says, we are laying off all the weights that so easily beset us, the things that trip us up, the things that cause us to fall down, the things that are causing us not to be able to run this race effectively. Are y'all still out there? Peter said, if you get this stuff right, you won't have those problems. I don't know anybody if you've ever tried to learn to ride a bike. Some of us know how to ride a bike. Amen? Amen. But you remember? Do you remember when you first got on a bike? Yes. I don't know anybody who just got on the bike and rode off without wobbling. Somebody will say amen. In fact, I think that probably all of us, I got scars on my knees, on both knees. Not that because I didn't know how to ride the bike, but because I tried to do things I shouldn't have been doing on the bike. But when I first got on the bike, we all got some scars. And where we live, we had rocks. And I had rocks all in my hands because of the fact that I fell down on the bike. Somebody ought to say amen. Peter says, if you get these graces in your life, grace and peace will multiply. All things pertaining to life and godliness, spiritual myopia and amnesia will not be set in. And you will not stumble and you will not fall. You will be able to stand up because God will stabilize you. Amen. And sustain you. But you've got to get these things in your life. And then he says, when it's all over, folks, when it's all over, after you have run this race, after you have fought the good fight, after you have finished the course, you will get an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom, which God himself will be with you forever. Is that all right with you? He said, now you just get this stuff right. You just work on these eight things. If you just work on it, seems pretty simple, doesn't it? And the first thing that he wants us to work on is our faith. Amen. You know, and certainly there's a significant reason to spur us to develop these things. But he said, you need to get your faith together. And I shared with you on last week that faith is just rudimentary.
It's fundamental. It's not like faith is where you stop at, because a lot of folk say, I got faith, and they just stop there. You can't stop with your faith. You've got to move on from faith, because faith is the first building block. It's good to have faith. It's good to believe. It's good to have trust. It's good to have confidence. It's good to believe in God. But you can't just stop there. He said you got to add something else to your faith. Amen. Say, now that you got your faith, you need to put some virtue behind it. But let's talk about faith this morning, because faith is the thing that we want to start off with. We need to start there. Is it any wonder why Peter started with faith? Because that's simple. You know, if I could stop with faith, I'd have been all right. If I just came into the church and I had to just have faith, and I didn't have to deal with all the issues that go on in the church, and I didn't have to deal with my brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, I didn't have to deal with the folk who are not in Christ in the church, out the church, I would be all right if I could just stop with faith. But that's not where I can stop. But I at least have to have that right. Somebody needs to say amen. If I'm going to do anything. So the foundation of our spiritual development is built up on our faith. We have to add to that faith. So let me just give you a definition of what faith is. Faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing God's words. After you have heard it, you believe it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settled it. No, God said it, and that should settle it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Because God said it, that's the end of it. Now, it's good that you have to put your two cents in there, but the fact that you believe in it is really significant to you and you alone. Amen? Amen. But faith is a conviction of truth, of anything. It's a belief. It's the word pisteis, which simply means that you have confidence, certainty, trust. It's trustworthiness. It's a guarantee or an assurance of things. And the Bible tells us over in Hebrews 11 and 1 is that, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But, you know, faith in this sense is subjective. It has to do with you. It has to do with you. It has this subjective meaning. It's the faith that we have. I believe that God exists. It's what I believe. It's not what anybody else believes. It's what I believe. Now, this right here, folks, is individual. You know, I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. Mama can't do it. You see, a lot of folk came to the church because grandma was a member of the body of Christ. Daddy was a member of the body of Christ. Mama was a member of the body of Christ. My family was a member of the body of Christ. But this kind of faith is an individual faith, and it's one of the things that you have to do for yourself. Now, once you get your faith, you can't just live by yourself. Somebody else say amen. You see, it's that faith that we have in God, the conviction that God exists and God is the creator and the ruler of all things. I believe that. I don't know if you believe it, but I believe that. That's subjective faith. It's the kind of faith that you have to have, and it's subject to your belief in God. Such a faith that we have in Christ. I believe that Christ went to the cross. I believe that Christ died on the cross. I believe that Christ got up from the grave on the third day and went back to heaven. I believe that Christ is going to return again for me. I believe that he's gone to prepare a place for me. I believe that in his Father's house there are many mansions. Amen. I believe that. But the question is, do you believe that? I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that he is the anointed one. I believe that he is going to give me eternal life. I believe that this life and death is only a comma and not a period. I believe that there's something after I die that is going to happen on the other side. I believe that God is not only my God on this side, but God is my God on the other side. Amen, if you can. That's subjective faith. That's believing that God is going to do what God said and that God is capable of doing what God said God can do. But then you know there's objective faith also. And that objective faith means that which we believe in. That means the doctrine that we believe, that receive those articles of faith as that Jude is talking about. Jude said that the faith that has once been delivered unto the saints, that kind of faith, that the doctrine that we believe, the things that we believe that there's one true church. That's objective faith. We believe in an object. We believe in the doctrine that has been written down. We believe in those sayings, those things that have been written. Those are objects of our faith. That's objective faith. We believe what Jude says. But, you know, we're focusing on our subjective faith, not so much our objective faith. We're not necessarily dealing with whether or not there's one true church right now. Are y'all still out there? And not really concerned about whether or not there's only one truth, one doctrine, that there's only one way to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about your subjective faith. I'm talking about the fact that you need to have the conviction that God really exists and that God is able to give you a place in heaven or hell. Are y'all out there? You see, because the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like the way he used that substance is an old Latin word, comes from a Latin term, which simply means it's the substance. And it gives you the understanding that it simply means what it is. In Greek, it's hupostasis, which simply means the same thing. Hupo means under, and stasis means stand. And so basically, and from the Greek standpoint, is hupostasis means understand. So your faith is your understanding of the things hoped for. See, it's the understanding of the things that you hope for. And I understand that one day Christ is coming back. And because I have that understanding, it gives me the ability to move from day to day, no matter what goes on in this world, because of my understanding. Are y'all out there? Because faith is the understanding that there's more to life than just this life. There's something else other than the things that are bad in this world. Are y'all still out there? But not only that, you know, you look back at the word, not only is the faith the substance or the understanding, it simply also means that faith is the thing that undergirds me. It's the thing that keeps me up. It's the thing that gets me up in the morning and makes me move from one point to another point, realizing that this thing is not as bad as it seems because I have something that's holding me up. Picture it like this, folks. It's like, you know, we do it all the time. You get on 170, you get on 270, and some of you don't even think about it. You get on 170 and you get on 270 and you're just riding along. And you ever wonder, sometimes you get on and you feel it like it's kind of moving a little bit, it's kind of moving a little bit, it's rocking a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's kind of moving. Or if you stop, And then all of a sudden, you feel a big truck come by you, and that thing kind of move a little bit. You know what's going on there? That's because the portion that you're on right now ain't down on the ground. It's up something holding it up. There are some pillows under it. And those pillows are sustaining it and keeping it up, and you are up there just happy as you can be. You just riding along, got your music on everything. Amen. All right. And you feeling all comfortable and everything because you have some faith that bridge that you even hadn't thought about is being held up by something else. You have that kind of faith in the fact that the engineers have done their job properly. And so we have all kind of faith in one another. We have that kind of faith. So what the Hebrew writer is saying is that faith is the substance. It's the understanding that this bridge can sustain the weight that I am applying to it at any particular moment. And it's capable of holding me up. Are y'all still there? So the Hebrew writer said, that's your faith. It's that thing that undergirds you. It's that thing that keeps you above all that's under you. It's holding you up each and every day. It's getting you up in the morning. It's standing you up. It's sustaining you throughout the day. It's taking you through the night. It's keeping you in spite of all the bad stuff that's going on around you in the world. This faith is continuing to hold you where you need to be. Are y'all still out there? And so he says it's just that simple. That's what faith is. It's the understanding that there is something greater. There's somebody greater than I am that's capable of keeping this world alive. The Bible, I used to sing this song, and I've been trying to learn how to play it on the guitar. I'm not doing too good. He got the whole world in his hand. He got the little bitty babies in his hand. He got me and you brothers in his hand. He got me and you sister in his hand. He got the whole wide world in his hand. Are y'all still out there? And because God has us in his hand, it's holding us up. It's sustaining us. And I have faith in that. And because of that, I can ride along with my music playing and not worry about all the stuff that's going on around me. Because I have that kind of faith. Doesn't mean that I don't pay attention. Amen. The Bible reads in the NSB, says it's the assurance of things hoped for. You have an assurance that there is a place on the other side. You know, Paul said, rather, we don't suffer as those who have no hope. When folk die, we don't suffer as those who have no hope. We have a hope that there is a better place. NIV reads like this: being sure of what you hope for. Faith is being confident that God will give us what God is promising for us. We hope for that. Just like that Abraham faith. Abraham had faith that there was a better place. God told him, just go. I'm going to give you a better place. And he said, I'm going to make out of you a great nation one day. And I will just lead you. The children of Israel didn't always have that kind of faith when they were out in the wilderness. But if they had just followed God, it probably would have took them 40 days and not 40 years. Are y'all still out there? Anybody wandering in the wilderness right now? Anybody wondering why they can't get off the journey and why things are going wrong and they feel like they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and every time you try to turn one way, you keep ending up going another way? Is because perhaps your faith is not as strong as it ought to be. Are you still there? So faith is the evidence of things that we can't see. I don't always know what God is trying to do, but I know that God is trying to do something for me and with me. Yes. Amen. It's the conviction of the things not seen. Amen, if you can. Amen. You know, but faith is not gullibility. Are y'all still there? It's not gullibility. It's not just blind faith. It's not trusting for no good reason. It's not just saying the Lord will handle it. Are y'all still out there? You know, many have this misconception of faith, that faith is believing in something without any evidence. That's not our faith. Our faith is not based upon the fact that we don't have any evidence. We have evidence. You just have to have faith rather than provide a reason for such faith, is what some people have said. It's not that kind of faith. It's not having just saying, I believe just because. No, one person came up and said, well, you asked the question, do you have faith? Yeah, I have faith. Why do you have faith? Well, the preacher have faith. The preacher say I should have faith. Why did the preacher say, yeah? He said, well, the church should have faith. So I got faith. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about, folks. You need some evidence. You don't want you just to believe because the preacher said you ought to believe. Amen, if you can. We would love that. A lot of preachers would love that. That you listen to everything we say and did what we say, but we don't want you just to do it because we say it. We want you to do it because you ask, not at least not in the Church of Christ. We don't want you to say do things just because we say do it. Amen. Amen. Check it out. See if there's some reason why you ought to do it. You know, we're going to see later that's just not the kind of faith that we're talking about. While trusting in things not seen with a conviction regarding their hope, things hoped for, is a trust and conviction based upon strong evidence. And we got a lot of evidence for what we believe in. You know, scientific community have been trying to disprove the Bible for a long time. I seen the thing on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to watch it because I watch all that stuff anyway just to know what they're saying out there. And I just want to see what they're saying. Is Genesis real? And so I'll watch it because I can't argue against it if I don't really know what they said. So that's the definition of faith. But what is the demand of faith? It's the foundation for our relationship with God. Now what the Hebrew writer says in 11 and 6, without faith it is what? Y'all can answer back. Without faith it is to do what? For those that come. Well, y'all don't know the rest. Okay, that's all right. He said, it is impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So without faith, you can't please God. And if you come to God, you need to have the faith that God is going to reward you because you are diligently, which Peter is telling us to do, be diligent about adding these things to our life. He said all this stuff is about urgency. It's about movement. It's about you being convicted and wanting to do what you need to do in order to get things right. You know, I remember in my neighborhood, and probably when I was growing up, they probably don't do this anymore, but somebody would end up in jail. Amen. I'm really not talking about anybody's family, because these were my family folk. And when they would go to jail, you know, we didn't have homes and things that you could get money down for the down payment of the bail. So the way we would do to get bail was we'd have fish fry. Are y'all still out there? And we'd pick a day, probably on Friday or Saturday, and we started on Friday evening and run it all day Saturday because somebody needed to get out of jail. And everybody in the neighborhood understood that. But we would be diligent about making sure that folk knew why we were doing what we were doing. And we go around with flyers and stuff, make it all, we having fish fries, and you probably put Junior in jail and he need to get out. And the bail amount is this amount, and we selling these fish, then we have potato salad and fried fish, and we throw some hot ketchup in there for you and everything, and make sure that folk knew why we were doing what we were doing, because we were diligent about the fact that we wanted to get Junior out of jail because Junior had been there. Next week we'll get him out again if we have to. But I'm trying to help you understand diligence. I'm trying to help you understand the fact that we understand what it means when we are in trouble, how to get out of trouble, when the bill has to be paid, when we've got to do something, we get diligent about trying to figure it out. We don't just sit around and say, it's going to work itself out. Bill collector keep calling, you say, we got to get diligent about trying to get this thing taken care of. Otherwise, they're going to keep bothering us until we get it done. So faith is impossible to please God. So faith is not lacking when we are trying to please God. We are diligent about doing what God wants us to do. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10, 35 through 39, cast away therefore your confidence, which has greatly recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come and will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no place, no pleasure with him. God says, you got to have faith. The just live by faith. And the just are diligent about doing their faith. It is not just some objective faith. It's not just believing that we are members of the one true church. Are y'all still with me? It's subjective faith. It's believing more than just we are members of the one true church. It's believing that God is God. Faith is the underlying element in our salvation and service to God. You see, it's the key that unlocks the way to salvation. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, they shall be given the power to become sons of God, even them that believe in his name. You can't even unlock the door if you don't have faith. So faith is the element, it's the rudimentary. It's the motivating force. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul says, yet not I, but Christ that live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. So it's the motivating factor. I'm telling you, folks, when you get this in your life and you start adding these things to it, you're going to be all right. You know, some of you are wondering why you don't have any power. Faith is the catalyst. I often laugh when people come to me and they start telling me what's wrong with their car. And they say, yeah, I went and they told me I need a catalytic converter, a Cadillac converter. And I always say, yeah, well, you can't take an old dump and convert it into a Cadillac just by putting a piece of metal on it. Y'all get that in a minute. It's a catalyst. It's the thing that makes it transfer from one place to another. It speeds up the process. Are y'all still out there? There's power available to those who believe, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. There's power available to you. There's power available to you, the power beyond your imagination, but you need a catalyst. You need something to take it and move it from one thing to another. Some of you probably remember the contact lens. In case you don't, I'm trying to help you learn what a catalyst is. A catalyst is when you used to have those old contact lens. You had the thing and you put it under the bottom, and that little piece of brown thing that stuck up under there was the catalyst. And then you pour the solution in and stick that down there and start to foam. That's what a catalyst do. It makes the process move. So you need something to get that power over to you, and that catalyst is faith. So you need that faith to help God get the power to you. You know, it's like one old man who went to the World's Fair back when the World's Fair first started out, and he got in there, and automobiles were new, and he had the raffle ticket, and he won a brand new 8-cylinder automobile. Amen. And I'm going to come on down on this one, because y'all look like y'all going to sleep on me, and I'm going to have to close on this. Amen. I just want to let you know that there's a demand for faith. And that old fellow went to the World's Fair, and got in there, and they were giving away that brand new automobile, and they called his number. And he had brought his family to the World's Fair with the old horse and buggy. And he got in there and won a brand new 8-cylinder automobile. And when he left the World Fair, he took that old horse off the buggy, hooked him to the front of the 8-cylinder automobile, and rode off home with the horse pulling the automobile. And he was just waving at all his friends. And all his friends was just waving at him, wondering, what's wrong with him? He's riding off on 1 horsepower when he had 360 under the hood. But because he didn't know what he had, he was still operating on 1 horsepower. And a lot of us are still operating on 1 horsepower. We have the power to do many things that God wants us to do. Faith is the catalyst that allows us to unlock the horsepower. But you can still ride on 1 if you want to. But if you want to get more than that, if you want to unlock all of the horsepower that God has for you and the abilities that God has for you, it starts with faith. Faith is the catalyst. It will unlock that for you. It will break you brand new. It will take things that you have never been able to do before and give you that ability to do it because you have faith in God. Now, it's not blind faith. It's not gullibility. It's not running around talking about we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we do walk by faith and walk by not by sight, but we don't walk without evidence. We have evidence. Christ died. Christ rose from the grave. Nobody has been able to dispute that. There's nobody that can tell me that Christ hadn't got up and went back to heaven. There's nobody. All the rest of the great religious leaders died and they died again. And they still dead. Amen. Christ went back. He's coming back. I believe that. Do you believe that? Because we have that kind of power if we just allow that catalyst to get in the way, get where it needs to be and unlock all the riches that God is willing to give to us. If we don't want to do that, then we don't have to do that. You can continue to run around on one horsepower if you want to. And if you're fine with that, that's fine. But that's tantamount to riding a bicycle with one wheel. Fine, and we used to do that when we were younger. I seen a young man on the 20. I remember when the 20s first came out, we used to take the 20s and we make choppers. We cut the front spoke forks off another bike and stick them on out, and sometimes we do like three or four of them, and that wheel be way out there. And every once in a while, that bad boy just come on off, and you had to pop the wheel in and make sure you were riding on one wheel. And I seen him riding on one wheel. I'm like, yeah, I used to do that. I wouldn't dare try that right now. And we used to ride and roll all forward and all that stuff. We did all that kind of stuff. That's because we had faith that we were able to do it. And that faith unlocked the power for us to do things that we never believed we can do before. We talked about reconciliation this morning in the class. And we talked about the fact that we have to reconcile with folk. Well, faith is where you have the ability to do that. You have the faith that God is going to be with you when you go to reconcile with somebody. You have the faith that God is going to help you to keep your mouth shut and listen to what the other person is saying and understand where they're coming from. You have that kind of faith, and God will give you that ability to do that. Patience. God will give you patience to do that. Faith is the catalyst that will unlock your patience. Amen. Faith is, the Bible says where faith is, there can be no fear. You can't have faith and fear in the same house. One has to leave. Light and dark can't live in the same place. If you turn on a light, dark just run. Are y'all still out there? You turn off the light and dark come back. You turn off the faith and fear comes. You turn on the faith and fear runs. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Amen? Amen. But that's the catalyst that will unlock all this stuff. It will get rid of the fear. It will get rid of the doubt. It will get rid of the things that you are dealing with. It will get rid of those things. And folks, when you are trying to reconcile with folk, you need faith. You have to have faith enough to walk in there without fear that you are going for the right reasons and you're trying to reconcile somebody. If you want a brother or sister back to you, do you not know that the angels in heaven will be singing because the children of God are getting along? Amen. Amen. Taking the communion, we already talked about that. The fact that you can't take the communion and think that you're just in relationship with God, you're in relationship with me, and we are doing this in common because we are rejoicing that we are the body of Christ. We do that by faith. And that faith is the fact that God has brought us all together. The Bible says that those who have faith, he will give the power to become sons and daughters of God. And that's all through your faith. But if you don't have that faith, there are so many things that you are missing out on. You can't even begin to have virtue. You can't even begin to live godly because if you don't have faith, you can't live a godly life because you don't know what godliness is. Amen. Amen. Because you haven't unlocked the key. There's no catalyst in there to unlock it and allow all those riches to just flow into your life. But once you get that, you begin to see things a whole lot differently. And once again, I'm not talking about the fact that we're talking about blind faith. The Lord will provide. Yes, the Lord will provide. But you know, when we talk about over there and is in Malachi, if you bring into the storehouse,
God will open up the windows. I'm closing. I just want to help you one more thing with faith. We talk about God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing land. You will never. That what it says? Something like that? Well, think about what a window does. You see, that in some folk mind that means that God gonna start blessing me with all kind of riches and stuff gonna start pouring out. You know what a window does? Huh? It opens and closes, but it also gives you a different view. It lets light in. It allows you to see stuff. You see, you can't see through that brick wall, but when you look through that window, you're able to see things that's not in here. So when God opened up the windows of heaven, he may shine some light on the stuff that you already got, because by faith now the catalyst has come in and you start seeing how many riches you already have. Amen. You know, you shine light in the house, you start seeing dust that you never seen before. You start looking at things a whole lot different. You start seeing yourself as being a whole lot more richer than you were. You thought you were. And God just opened up the window and let you see stuff that you never seen before. But it starts with that faith. And now God has really blessed you. It's not that he started giving you more money, but he started giving you a better way of looking at how to spend your money and how to save your money and how to give your money and what to do with your money. And now the windows of heaven has really blessed you, because now you see something that you didn't see before, and faith brought it all possible and made it all possible, because God has now given you a new outlook on life. And so we automatically think God's going to start adding most of them. No, God starts showing you some things in a different light because of faith. And now you begin to read his word and understand what you're supposed to do. I go over to Proverbs and I start reading Proverbs 3. And I see how people are supposed to use their money and save their money. And how they're supposed to give some and save some and spend some. Are y'all still there? And now the windows of heaven have really opened up. And I see things a whole lot differently. I see that I don't need the stuff that I thought I needed anymore. I see I don't have to go out to the nightclub and spend all my money anymore the way I used to. And now I'm really becoming rich because I'm saving stuff that I never saved before, because God has given me a brand new life. And it all started with my faith. Are y'all still out there? And that's all I'm trying to get you to understand, is that faith is the catalyst. And now I can look at things from a different way. It's not blind. It's evidence. And that evidence comes from in the word of God. And God has shown me a whole new way to live and to deal with my life. And it all started because I had a little bit of faith. And I came down one day and said, I want to become a Christian. And then I started learning more about how to live virtuously. Amen. Are y'all still there? I'm done, because I gotta save some for next week. Well, I won't be here next week. I won't be here next week. I'll come back again and whenever. But we'll pick back up where we left off. The next one will be virtue. We'll deal with virtue and talk about how virtue is in your life. And I can't wait to get to that brotherly kindness part. I really can't. Are y'all here? Is anybody who feeling that they need more faith? Anybody's faith is kind of weak right now? Anybody who's just been operating on blind faith, who hasn't felt that they've really been using their faith the way they should be using it and hadn't benefited from the way that they ought to be benefiting from it? Then you need to come down and ask God to give you more faith, because, you know, Paul says we move from faith to faith. So he says faith is a growing process too, and it can grow, and you can move from, Paul said, I moved from faith. That means I had that rudimentary faith, then I went to a stronger faith, and then I can move to another level of faith. So we move from faith to faith. And so it's not that you will ever stop getting more faith, because the more you understand, the better your faith is going to be, the stronger your faith is going to be. So if you need God to do it, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. If any man lack faith, let him ask God. Come on down and ask God to give you more faith right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. If you need it.